हरिः ओम् सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय श्री प्रभुपाद. Okay, so now we've done Vaishnava and Samapada. Now, Vaishaka. The 2 feet, 3 talas and a half apart, and the thighs without motion. The 2 feet to be obliquely placed, pointing sideways. Skanda Kartikeya is its presiding deity. Uses. This sthana should be assumed in riding horses. In exercise. Exit from any place. Mimicking large birds, practice of shooting arrows, and in the rachikas of the feet. Oh, okay. So that means where you're standing, like, yes, like this.
Yes.
Because when you shoot arrows, you do that, but you're shooting this way.
Yes.
You know, you go through a door, you go through, you know, these, you know, like this. So big birds, you know.
And horse also when you sit.
Yeah, because your feet are out like that. Because just the way there are, your feet are like that. You can't do another way. Yeah. That's why the stirrups, you know, that you put your feet through, those are loose, so your feet can go out like that. If they were fixed like this, then you'd have a big problem.
Is it the same like a Charlie Chaplin?
Yes, but his is probably a very extreme Vaishaka.
Yes.
Like that. Well, maybe he's, mimicking large birds. Mandala, it relates to Indra. His presiding deity is Indra. In it, the feet are 4 talas apart, and they are obliquely placed and turned sideways. The waist and knee are in the natural position. Uses. The mandala sthana should be assumed on the use of weapons like the bow and the thunderbolt, driving of elephants and mimicking large birds. So similar, so it's just more stretched. Alidha. The right foot in the mandala stance, drawn 5 talas apart from the other foot, will make the Alidha sthana. Rudra, Shiva is the presiding deity. Uses. This sthana should be assumed in all acts relating to the heroic and furious sentiments, duel of wrestlers and the representation of enemies, and attack on them and release of misuse. So then it's even more strong.
So now, one tala is what side? Yes, sir.
It was just on the outlet, because with the D under the Alidha. Oh. Yeah, okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, one tala I was asking. So
a tala, how much is the tala? This tala is the distance between the stretched thumb and the middle finger. So it's that much.
Yes.
So then that's, so this is, you know, one, two, three, and a bit, you know. Like that. So this one goes to that much. You know, so it gets more, you know, the knees are more bent, the more, you know, you see that sometimes they do that, and also the dancers, they have their feet way out and they're doing that.
Also in India, at least during my time, every kid knows it because we play marbles.
Mm-hmm.
It's only the hands like do.
Oh, I see, because everything is, you know, where you shoot from.
Yeah,
okay. Ah, so the tala is the standard measurement amongst the kids. Yeah, because then they're the ones that learn to dance, so then you can relate to it. Pratyalidha, when the right foot is bent and the left foot is put forward in the Alidha stance, the pratyalidha will be produced. After taking aim from the Alida stance, the missile to be actually released from the Pratyalida stance, the actor should release various weapons from this sthana. Right foot is bent, and the left foot is forward. Hmm. Okay. So a lot of them they're equal, but then when you put one forwards.
Yes.
Yeah, because you have to go back. Yeah. Yes.
How can we say that, for example, nowadays, many people are left-handed, no?
Left-handed.
Yes, left-handed, you know?
Yeah.
And we say that in the Vedic time, more or less, it's always mentioned the right-handed.
Because that's auspicious.
Auspicious, yes. No?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, also, I heard about the whole our body structure.
Uh-huh.
There are some things we miss out if we do more activities with left hand from the right hand side of the brain.
Oh, okay.
Some subtler ones.
Because your different side, the right side of the brain runs the left side of the body, and the left side runs the right.
Yeah.
And so, depending on what's there, then you overemphasize if you do the other way. So you see, those who are left-handed and always do everything, their personality is very different.
Yes.
Very different. So then there's certain things that just balance if it's done that way. Arjuna could use both, but your standard thing is to use the right. But the point is who you're representing is not a left-handed person in the drama. Like that. So it works out. It doesn't. It's not a problem. Verses 72 to 86. Four nyayas in using weapons. Nyayas are the ways regulating, niyante, how the various weapons are to be handled whilst staging a fight on the stage, and how the actors move about this on the stage using various charis and angaharis, combination of charis and karanas. There are four nyayas, ways of using weapons. One, bharata, the weapon should strike at the waist. Two, sattvata, strike at the foot. Three, Varsan Nanga, strike at the breast, and Kaishika, strike at the head. With the graceful movements of the limbs, weapons such as the bow, the thunderbolt, and the sword are to be wielded at the time of their use in the fight. In the stage fight, there should be no actual piercing, cutting, or flow of blood and the actual striking. The use of weapons should be done with its mimicry, or the cutting off of anyone's limb should be represented by the use of gestures and postures only. Right, because you get the idea when they show everything. You get the idea what's going on. And that's all you have to get. This whole thing that you have to have, realism and all that, then the difficulty comes down is then the person must be an extrovert because their own, they can't produce any experience. Because introvert means on their own they can produce all the emotional content. Extrovert means unless it comes from outside, there's none. So that's why they have to go out and deal with others and all that and get them going, hey, you know, like that. And when they get going, then they get excited. They can't do it on their own. So then, you know, going for that, which is not an ideal, because someone's an extrovert, then they're dependent on others, which is not an ideal situation. And then the difficulty comes up is why? Because then, one, you can't be happy without others doing what you want them to do. And two, if they don't do what you want them to do, then you'll become upset. So you lack independence and you're generally going to be not happy because mostly people don't do what you want them to anyway. You know, especially if the whole thing is about yourself and about that, then as soon as you get into that, others get into that, and then nobody does what anybody wants to do. Like, you know, does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Also, there is an aspect that it is with respect to the audience, and all audience don't react in the same way, like when these kind of activities are performed, some are too much scared and some are too much inspired, they also want to fight.
Yeah, like, yeah. Like, yeah, so you're trying to, because you see, it's also in the Vedic, they can use the, I forget what the term was, they use it in the very beginning, where it mentioned that the arrangement of the stage, you know, all the, nowadays they do a very elaborate stage setup. all the you know the props and everything, so that it basically looks like exactly like what you want it to. Well, and the Vedic thing is you do all that by description. You know, but you're using the facial things, you're using the arms and hands, so it brings a positive emotion. Because the point of them being there should be a certain experience. Mm-hmm. Now, as he said, some may catch it, some may not. So it needs to be pointed out so that the whole audience is in the same position, that they all appreciate how wonderful the garden is. Because otherwise, you try to make a nice garden, and so unless you have really a lot of money, and this and that, and so many things, how do you get it? You know, and if you say, oh, well, we'll use, you know, projections and that, that's even more expensive. Yes. You know, and then if the electricity goes off, then you have a problem.
There's a whole chapter discussing that after this. 14, chapter number 14 discusses
that. Okay. Yeah, so the whole point is that it's subtleties. You don't have to have the gross aspects. So just if they give you the idea, then you know what's going on.
Yes.
Right. So, yeah.
So we can say this presentation is simple and very personal.
Yeah, it's very personal.
Everybody can have a taste.
Yes, because it's just like, let's say, someone who's a good storyteller. Is there expertise on the presentation of the facts? Or is it on the presentation of how you will perceive the facts?
Yes.
That's the whole point.
Yes, yes.
So drama has to be that. Nowadays, that everything's done for you. Because those ones that have the most amazing technical points but don't bring out the emotion, they always get panned. No one likes them. Right? You know, so you're going to have the one where it has good emotional content, but maybe the plot was a little bit strange, or some other aspects weren't that really, you know, a bit contrived. But, you know, a general populace will love it because it produced the emotion. And all the sophisticated, you know, how you say, movie critics, they'll all pan it. You know, this is so stupid. This is so, you know, everything's cliche. You know, just all this kind of thing. But the people loved it. You know, it was made $1 billion, you know, like this, but they don't like it. You know? Then you have the one that, you know, intellectually inspires them and all this and that, but the general public don't like it. Because there's, you know, the emotional content, or it takes it into emotions that shouldn't go into it. You don't end on a bad note. You know, you don't end the meal with Corella. You end with a sweet. But these guys, it's, oh no, it's different, you know. Okay, you know, so I'm serving you this, and okay, what is that weird taste? Oh, I just brought in something new. You don't like it? Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry, I didn't realize that you weren't, you know, that intellectually involved. I didn't realize you were so common. You know, no, I like it. It's great, yeah, you know. So these kind of things. So you know, it's a form that's for certain people, but they somehow then they make it that their niche is, you know, the standard. No, it's the standard for this group. For pessimists, it's for them, and they'll be happy. But for optimists, it's terrible. All the optimists are stupid. That's like the Gyanis saying the Karmis is. They're both stupid. They're both materialists. So the point is, when it's connected to Krishna, so with Krishna, it's always going to work out nice. Right? So that's how you know. If it's about Krishna, it will work out nice. So therefore, you know, good will triumph over evil, the relationships will work out. So that's the standard. Right? But, as we were saying, is that, so you have the one where the intellectuals, you know, certain kind of dry intellectuals will really appreciate, or pessimistic intellectuals will appreciate, and the common won't. Then there's what the common won't, because the emotions that the others won't. You know, oh, they have so much affection. That's not real. Because they've never tasted it. They've never seen it. None of their friends would be qualified. So they say it's all bogus. But it's pretty standard. You know. Otherwise, why is it all these romantic playwrights and all that write like this? Because they've seen it. They've experienced it. While these pessimists have never. So they think, oh, it's not real. You know? And then you're going to have those who make the perfect scenery, perfect this, perfect everything, but it doesn't have either that more intellectual aspect, or it doesn't have that emotional contact, and nobody likes it. Yeah. So therefore you see that sometimes these productions that were really expensive and they're, you know, played out as the most this and the most that and that, and it comes out, nobody likes it, no one hears about it again. Mm-hmm. It just disappears.
Yes.
I remember in my childhood I went to theater to watch one English movie was translated into local language, and towards the end the main actress is like swallowed by the whale. It was about in the ocean. That's it. After that, I never
watched it. Yeah, it's just like, who wants to watch this anymore? It's like, yeah, this is stupid. You know? Yeah, it's just like, you know, it's almost going to happen and the boy and girl don't get together. So what's the point? You know, it's like, why do we have to watch? Oh, we're being realistic. It's kind of like that. If you want to be realistic, go out and, you know, go stand on the street corner. That's realistic. You know, go there and watch, you know. Like that. No, but if I go out there, you know, it's cold. That's realism, you know. Verses 97 to 100, nourishment of the body. For the strength of the body, one should eat cooked food, cooked in oil or ghee, and drink juices such as sugarcane, lemon, etc. For vitality is dependent on one's nourishment, and the exercise is dependent on vitality. Hence, one should be careful about one's nourishment. When bowels are not cleansed and one is very tired, hungry, thirsty, has drunk too much water, eaten too much, one should not stretch one's body. These are the rules regarding charis in connection with the exercise of limbs. I shall thereafter speak of different mandalas. Right? So even just how you take care, how you'll be a good... Because it takes a lot of energy to be, you know, if you can see all these things that stand in those moves and moving around. And do, it takes a lot of energy. So that energy is there, you know, has to be, you applied, you practice things. That's where you're exercising, you practice all these things. You can't do it unless there's vitality. That comes from nourishment. So unless you eat properly, then you can't. You know.
Also, this was the only point mentioned, that you should eat something cooked in... It, he said oil, that would translate it, I added ghee.
So. It just means, it means something you know, with some viscosity.
Yeah. And the point is, like, now naturopathy and all, they kind of recommend that, oh, you don't eat anything like that because it's hard to digest this, that.
Yeah, but that, don't eat anything. Then there's no trouble digesting. It's like that, you know.
So they take out of context, like if you have to work hard, then you have to eat. But the disease, yeah. Then...
Yes, yeah, like these big wrestlers and big bodybuilders and that. I think they do, you know, like 10,000 calories a day, 15,000. Some of the huge guys, it's 15,000. Yes. You know, the guys that can lift, you know, like whatever is, you know, hundreds of kilos and all that. They did 10, 12, 15,000 calories. And it's fine for them. They digest everything, you know. I remember once I was, had a, my stomach was not doing so good, or indigestion and all that. And in Prabhupada's kitchen, I think, I can't remember how it worked, but in Vrindavan, he had Prabhupada's kitchen, you know, which is in the back of his house. Just when you go in the parikram behind, it's back there in the corner. And then you had the devotee kitchen, which was then when you go into the to the to the Gurukul building, you know, on the first floor to the all the way extreme left to the corner. And so, you know, even though technically they're within a very short distance of each other, but because you have to walk all the way around. And I remember, for some reason, I had to carry a sack of coal. You know, a big, you know, a full sack of coal. You know, I don't know how many kilos that was, but there was some reason I had to carry that for something. That something would happen. Either we had some coal, or we needed coal, or something. And so, therefore, I had to go. There was no other rain. I had to go carry the coal. And so I'm carrying the coal. It's really difficult because it's so heavy and bulky and this. But the funny thing was, this halfway in the distance of the walk, the digestion kicked in. I got really hungry. You know. So that's the thing. Don't eat more than... So if you say it's hard to digest, means you're not doing enough work. Like that. Like Bhima is no problem. He does plenty of... That's what it says. Voracious eater and performer of Herculean tasks. They go together. Eat more, work more. Eat less, work less.
Can you see, for example, for the fighting, like Kurukshetra war, they fight only from morning till evening and after they eat something?
Yeah, of course.
Together.
Yeah, they'll all go together. Yes. You know, they'll all go sit and, you know, because you see, as all the especially Kurukshetras, because all those different things, they're all related, they're all families and all that. Like Salva, he's the would be the uncle, right? Because Madri's brother was Salva. Shalya. And so he was going to fight on the side of the Pandavas. But because Duryodhana tricked him, he ended up fighting on his side. So then after the battle, he'll go and sit and, you know, go and eat with the Pandavas. Like that. And no one's worried there's going to be a problem because everyone's dutiful. They will follow their duties. They will do everything that they're supposed to do. Like that.
Now in this culture, everybody care about is to nourish the body and soul.
Yeah, it means it's nourished, though, that it's about nourishment. If you eat because of nourishment, and then if you know what you're doing, you balance it, it will have nice taste.
Yes.
And also, if you eat what works for you, it will taste nice. And what works for others, you know, may not taste nice. You know, so like that, it's about that aspect. It's not just about taste. It's not political, you know. It's not about politics or taste or sense gratification. It's that you offer those things to the Lord. That's the appropriate thing for you to eat. So humans eat certain food, you know. You know, elephants would offer other food to Krishna. Oh. Chapter 12. Okay. Now this is a serious chapter.
Yeah, sure.
That's what I found important.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying it's good. That's interesting. It's here. You says summarize. Maybe you should put that in those other ones where you have those, you know, 150 verses, but you only put about 4 or 5.
Okay.
Just put in here summarize. Summarize or something else means summarize means you say or you're just picking part of it.
Okay.
Synopsis, you can say. Yeah. That's even. Adhyaya Prakashika. As discussed in the previous chapter, chari connotates movement with a single foot. The concordant movement of 2 feet is called a karana. The combination of 3 or more karanas is termed a khanda, and 3 or 4 khandas combining together constitute a mandala. In other words, you're trying to do something. Like, say, if you want to walk from here to there, then it's going to be so many movements of both feet.
Yes.
You know? Like that. So then it'll be together. So there'll be something that you're establishing. Because let's say you're presenting something also. In that presentation, it'll have those elements, you know, to present. And so then you're going to bring out different things that are happening or moods or that. So a few steps might do one aspect and another aspect. You're trying to combine that all together. So then it'll make a mandala.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Thus, mandalas are more complicated movements of the legs involving various combinations of charis. This chapter discusses in detail about the 20 types of mandalas used in fight and personal conduct. Combat. So then when you take these up for fight and combat, then it's always called a mandala. And if it's something else, the grouping is... Because you still have the charis, karna...
Kanda, angahara.
Kanda. But then, so this then goes from kanda into mandala. But those will go from kanda into...
Angahara
and like that, because there's more, it's more flowing. Okay, so that means then you do a few things, you move forward and this and that, and attack, and then you move back, and then they die, like this, that kind of thing. So technically it's shorter then.
Yes.
It completes in a shorter round.
This is like a full circle. Mandala generally is like a mandala means...
Oh, because you go from where you are up and then go back. Because otherwise if there's not some movement, you just go, haya, haya. You know, you expect some people to move a little bit. Okay, Shloka Anusharanam, verses 1 to 68, summarized. Mandalas. I have now properly described charis in connection with the use of weapons. Now learn about mandalas arriving out of a combination of charis. The aerial mandalas are Atikranta, Vita, Vichitra, Lalita, Sanchara, Suchi, Vidha, Dandapada, Vihrita, Alata, Vama, Vidhi, Lalita, and Kranta. The earthly mandalas are Brahmara, Aksha Dita Ava Avarta Samot Sharita Eka Kad Krit Dita Ad Ardita Shakatasya Adyardha Pushta Kuta and Chasa Gata. These mandalas to be used in fight and personal combat are to be formed with supportiveness and graceful movements of limbs and should be accompanied by suitable instrumental music. Will these come up later, these names?
No. Actually, they came up sometime, one or two of them. That's why I just mentioned the names, otherwise I would not have.
Yeah, but otherwise you could just mention the mandalas are of aerial and earthly. And these mandalas be used in fight, personal combat, so you could basically probably take all that out.
We came across Brahmara once, then I couldn't remember. It's the mandala, one of them.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but then put it in the footnote. Yeah. These mandalas to be used in fight and personal combat are to be formed with supportiveness and graceful movements of limbs and should be accompanied by suitable instrumental music. Right, it has to be graceful and all that. It's not going to be, because we see as those who are very expert at these things as they practice so much as graceful.
Yes.
So when Bhima and like Jarasandha were battling with their clubs, it looked like they were dancing. But what they were doing was all these techniques of attack and defense and kind of things like that. Because they're swinging, you know, the club, they're moving their feet and spinning and all these different things. So it was very impressive to watch.
But it seems that in drama, people who are fighting, they don't touch each other.
No.
Yes.
You don't need to.
Yes.
Because the point is you're just trying to give the flavor of the fight.
Yes.
That's why the actual thing is not.
But the weapon touch?
I am not sure. I'm not sure if they need to.
It depends on the type of combat also. If it's a wrestling, they have to touch.
Hmm?
If it's kind of wrestling, then they have to touch.
Yeah, wrestling, then they might. But
using a weapon? Then
but that weapon, I don't think you need to. You just have to show it, because it's representative. Like we say, is in the Vedic approach to the drama, it's about bringing out the emotions.
Yes, yes.
You know, so by how, and why they're saying it's very sportive.
Yes, yes.
Graceful movements, because that's what's going to catch the thing.
Yes, yes.
Not that it's so.
Yes, yes.
Like that. So, you know, and we see is that those, for fighting ones, that the legs get farther and farther apart.
Yes.
So, depending upon the thing. So, it's very, I could say, stylized.
Yes.
And so then that's where the flavor is in the stylized. And people say it's not real, it's kind of like, you know, so you don't know what, no, this is real drama. If you don't appreciate stylized, then you're in the wrong place. Right? Stylized is very artistic, you know, it's very much, because it's about bringing out and things like that. And so if one doesn't like that, then yeah, go do something else. But this is, it's the standard. And so if you grow up with this, because kids do that, and so it just becomes more refined as an adult. Like if the kid gets out there and they're going to fight, you know, they go, you know, they do this big thing. You know, and then they run at each other. It's not that they necessarily fight much, but it's all about the flavor. You know, and then when they come inside, then they'll tell your mother, what were you doing? Oh, we were fighting so much and all that. You know, and it's just mood. So if that is cultivated, then one can experience these things through mood. You don't need this, like we said, this external thing of that. It's just so externally impressive to the senses, and therefore you get something. Because that's the problem, is if you're dealing with emotions, then you do the combination, the abhinaya, you know, the physical movements, the facial, the moods, the words, and you know, sounds, and all these, then they match that mood. It's not that it'll get old. You know, it's just like when you're small and you see something wonderfully, oh. You know, when you're 68, it's the same. It's just not going to change because it matches. And so, therefore, since the Vedic, they know the science, it matches. Therefore, it never gets old. It gets refined. You know, while the children, they're not very refined in it. I mean, it gets refined. Well, this modernist is that it has to be so explicit, but then at what point does it go? It means like nowadays, this thing, I think it's the big thing is 4K, and now it's even going into 5K and stuff. You can't see 4K. When you look at something, you don't see it in 4K. You absolutely don't. So if you look at 4K, there's things there that you wouldn't normally see. Because you don't pick those things up. So it's beyond real. In other words, they're just going to other. So where does it end up? You know, it has to be ultraviolet or, you know, like infrared or, you know, so it just it goes beyond. So that's the thing. When you're dealing with the senses always get jaded. So whatever you did today, tomorrow won't give you the same flavor. The next day it'll be less and less. It just gets the something of diminishing returns. You know that phrase? No? It just means that whatever you do is you get less and less result from the same endeavor. But when you're dealing on the emotional things with the points that actually do it, you don't get that. You know, because it's all in the mind. So if you're working with the mind, you'll get the impression. If you're working with the external senses, then that has to be interpreted by the mind. Then it has to be more and more developed.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So they avoid all that. So okay. Preeti, having discussed the mandala movements, which are to be used in fight and personal combat, next chapter discusses another type of movement called gati, gait, which is used for imitating gaits of different types of human characters as well as animals. Like you see sometimes like the traditional Japanese or the Oriental and that, they'll use this more. It's more similar like this. And so someone who does it really well in all that, then it will be appreciated. But it's more by the intellectual. But they're seeing how the techniques and all that and brought about. So like that caught their attention. But in the Vedic, these would be used so it'll catch the intellectual and it will catch the general. So it works for everybody. Well, in the modern, it's like completely different worlds, different approaches. Is that? Yeah. Chapter 13, Gati, Gate. Adhyaya Prakashika. Gati is the movement of the actor through which the character and situation is established on the stage. Gati refers to the gate, which comes from the root word gam gacha, to move or to go. Gamanam means moving or walking, a synonym of gait. Hence, gati represents the way the actor moves on the stage. Gati can be dance in dance movements and walk in dramatic sequences. As soon as a person enters the stage, his character of the drama can be judged by the spectator from his gait. Thus, gait is an important aspect of angika, abhinaya gestures. Hence, that means because abhinaya includes all that. So this is the angika, the bodily.
Bodily.
Yeah. So then, hence this chapter describes in detail the different types of gates based on the type of character, situation, sentiments to be depicted, etc. It also discusses about the various sitting and lying down postures to be used in representing different emotional states, right? So therefore, how the movement goes, like that. Mm-hmm. We're not saying about the particular hand movement or this or that. We're talking about just how one proceeds,
yes.
Right? Because we've talked about you have the step things and how they'll use it, but now how it's combined together in these different things. Shloka and Sharanam. Verses 1 to 3, entrance of actors. After the Upa Vahana, 24, one of the preliminaries of the stage where the musicians tune their instruments. Mm-hmm. Instrumental music is played and the Dhruva song, appropriate to the place and sentiment, is sung. Because the Dhruva song is a short song, like a four-line song. And then that will be setting the mood of what's there and all that. So depending on that song, then you know this is what's going on. Right? Because they'll tune up and everything like that, then you're going to play the dhruva.
But dhruva means it's like a mantra? Like,
it'd be like, let's say, Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Jayate.
Yes.
It's a four-line song. Yes. That's a dhruva.
Ah, okay.
And the dhruva song also means it has, the second line is called the dhruva. Does that make sense? Because it's the one that's repeated.
Yes.
So you can keep going back to it.
Yes.
You know?
Okay.
Like that. So it's just that main song. It's just that it has that point that it has a point that you repeat.
Mm.
So the dhruva song could be, you know, any side, just like on Srila Prabhupada's what is it, Dakine Bhagavat Dharma. That, you know, he's telling the, you know, my dear friends, you know, I tell you sincerely that only when you get the mercy of Srimati Radharani, then your life will be successful.
Yes.
So that's the dhruva. It keeps coming back to that. Mm. Does that make sense?
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. So the dhruva song, probably the place and sentiment, is sung.
Mm-hmm.
Then the curtain is removed, and to the accompaniment of music, the actors enter, exhibiting the theme and sentiments of the play. Right. So they, when they come in, it already has to be, have the mood of what it's about. So you immediately. So all this thing where you go through and it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and you can't tell what's going on and all that. You know, because they're trying to reveal it slowly or bring it up or surprise. They don't do that in the Vedic. You know immediately. Then the taste is there. Otherwise, 10 minutes of the film is, you don't know what's going on.
Yes.
So it's a waste of time. And a lot of times people just drop it at that point. It's like, this is stupid.
Yes.
You know? So the whole thing is it has to immediately, you can tell what it's about, what the drama's about. Because then that flavor unfolds. Because the point is it's there. It's just like, let's say, you know, all the preparations are there, and then one by one they all come out. But you know what we're doing. You know, okay, we're cooking. It's Bengali, or it's North Indian, or it's Italian, or it's something like this. And so then you know what's there, what goes with what, and what to expect. And because it's also not apprehension. Means when you're waiting for something to happen, you know, it starts also with an A. You know, you expect this to happen, so then it's going. You know, if they come out and it's a romantic, you know, then there's going to be some aspect of people getting together or showing this or something. But there's that aspect.
Apprehension, correct.
Apprehension.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. Okay, so then that's the thing is that it's there. Or, you know, they come out and they're talking about, then you know there's going to be a battle, or there's going to be, so you know these things will happen.
It's
more
anticipation.
Anticipation. Yeah.
Anticipation.
Yes, anticipation.
Like that, it's more easy to be part of the...
Yes.
To understand the mood.
Yes.
To do the same thing.
Yes, so then the audience is immediately already is pulled in and is part of the thing.
Yes.
That's the whole thing in storytelling. It's you get that in the what is it, that storyteller in Thousand and One Nights. Yeah, Thousand and One Nights. Then the whole point that he makes is that in the first statement, if you haven't caught their attention, you've already lost them.
Yes.
You know, like that. So. That's the whole point, is you have right there, then is already, then you're involved. So then there can be so many things. Otherwise, you're not involved, and if at any point there's a moment, then you think, okay, that was great. So the Vedic is, why wouldn't the whole thing be moment?
Yes.
Why wouldn't it be just one moment after another?
Yes.
Modern is that here and there you get a moment. It's
yes.
Like, no, it should be constant.
Also, the suspense aspect is in how the hero attains his goal. The efforts, like, what are the various efforts
he
put, different endeavors to which, that's where the suspense is.
Suspense, not whether he'll reach it or not. Yeah, so the point is, suspense is how you got it, not if you got it. So that's there, because that has that confidence, has those things like that. Because the point is also in the Vedic, you could say, oh, but that's not realistic. It says, so what about the guy, let's say, the guy's a billionaire, okay? Okay, he's a billionaire, great. But the interest is in the story of how he became.
Yes, yes.
You know, he tried once, that failed, he tried again, so that's only on the fourth or fifth time, then something clicked, and then it did this, and then it, you know, that's what you want to hear. Because that's what you can do. You can say, oh, it's not realistic because you don't always get your goals. But the point is how do you endeavor to get goals? So if you just say, oh, it's not realistic, then what are you going to do? Nothing? And then you're going to get a goal? How unrealistic is that? You know? Like that. Or I haven't gotten, so he should suffer also. You know, when he's suffering, in other words, when he's suffering more than I'm suffering, then I'll feel good. You know, so that's not this kind of negative approach is not what the Vedas does. It's that, you know, these things will be attained, how they attain them. Because you can always learn from them. You won't be doing it on as grand a scale. It may not take as long like that. Like, you know, the Pandavas, you know, that, you know, it's 14 years. You know, for us, it's not going to take 14 years. You know? So the whole thing is, but what you learn, the determination, how they focus, how they do everything, that's what's to be gained. Does that make sense? So that's the whole idea, is that you're... the suspense of how it will be, what's the uniqueness of this presentation. Even everybody knows the story,
yes.
But still, it goes through the process. And so the process is what's important. That's why Govinda is the prominent deity. Like that. You know, so that whole aspect. And then there'll also be the actors, how well they do, the direction, how nice that is, and what you know, like how they do their steps and stuff like that, and how they do, you know, the production then comes off very well, and then it becomes very special. You know, how they dealt with that is, you know, very unique. You know. Yeah, because he says, you know, these things, it says, because in the Vedic, you're not... Shloka Anusharanam. Yeah, because it depends on the weapons. Yeah. Okay. What is it? Then the curtain is removed to the accompaniment of music. The characters enter, exhibiting the theme and sentiments of the play. Verses 4.
4 to 11.
4 to posture. Okay, 4 to 11. Posture for superior and middling characters on entrance. In case of characters of the superior and middling types, the actor should assume the Vaishnav sthana. Right? Because remember, here is when they're saying about superior, middling, and that they're not talking necessarily about the social status, it's about the character itself. Or they're talking about in a relationship. You know, like the parents and the child. The child's in the inferior, and the parents are in the superior. Mm-hmm. So it's either in relationship or qualities. It's not a social status aspect. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so Vaishnava should assume the Vaishnavasthana. Vaishnavasthana should be done with one foot placed in the normal position, and the other is turned a little bit and made into a triangle. The chest should be in the Chaturasra position without protruding too much and without bending in front. What's the Chaturasra?
That's the explanation, Maharaj. That's why I didn't...
No, but Chaturasra is mentioned previously.
Chaturasra...
Because it mentioned about the standing and this and that. Because one of them means the chest is up or the luck is up or, you know, where you look like that. Because you can put those into either bracket. If it's so short in brackets or with those. Without protruding too much and without bending in front.
That is the actual position. What he explained, the Chaturashtra also. It's like in a stage that it not protrude too much.
Okay.
The same thing is explained before.
Okay. The shoulders should hang down at ease without any stiffness, and the neck should be held high like a peacock with a raised head. There should be a distance of 8 angulas between the earlobes and the shoulders, and a distance of 4 angulas between the chin and the chest. Footnote 25. Abhinava says that Vaishnava sthana is to be assumed by the Shutadara, director of the play, while invoking the Jarjara, Indra's flagstaff, in the Purvaranga. Right, so then they'll come out and establish what's going on. Because the first ones that come out then generally is the director and then his assistant and these kind of aspects. But even the same stands even in other things. When it comes out, then you have to know what's going on. You have to know what the people are, what their mood is, what their attitude. Then you can get a variety, but you should know what the sty is, you know, the main characteristic. Otherwise, if it keeps changing in that, then how do you place? Is this a guy a good guy or a bad guy? You know, you should know. He's a good guy or he's a bad guy. Or he's a confused guy. You should be clear on that. But then that should come out very quickly. Not that you're here and then invest in one way and then later he changes into something else. No. You see in the beginning, he's like this, and then with others, he's like this. Then you know, okay, this guy's, you know, tricky or clever. Or you can't trust him. Yes.
Also, the way a gesture moves, then you can expect he will joke around and then he will speak something out of the way.
Yes.
When he speaks, we shouldn't get disturbed.
Yeah, you know he's going to say something, you know, inappropriate at the most inappropriate moment, right? Because that's his business. You know, in other words, it's appropriate for him to do that. Yeah. So in other words, the shoulders are down, you know, like that. They're not up, or you know, something else, or like that. That kind of thing. In the posture described above, the interval between the 2 feet of the actor should be 2 tallas and a half. Footnote 26. The taller refers to the length of one's palm or distance between the thumb and middle finger when they are stretched. Palm. So that means it's the same. Wow. That's far out. The height of putting down a step should be according to one's stature. Generally, the measurements are 4 tallas, 2 tallas, and 1 tala. For gods and kings, it is 4 tallas. For characters of middling type, it is 2 tallas. And for women and characters of the low type, it is 1 tala. You know, just how much you pick up. The women aren't going to pick their legs up like this. But when they're doing these bigger guys, they, you know, they're more elaborate and, you know, like that. You know, Indra comes on, you expect something more.
Well, I'm going to do, okay.
Yeah, well, that's unlimited tallas. Yeah. And the time required for the step should be 4 to 2 kalas, or 1 kala only. What's a kala? Okay. Steps of the superior character should take 4 kalas, those of the middling type, 2 kalas, and those of inferior type, 1 kala only. So the shorter, the higher the rise in the foot, the quicker it is. Like you see, a lot of times, just like a thing that you have those... you know, just as an example, like you have the like you have those traditional Japanese girls and the kimonos and that and the wooden shoes and all that. They take very small steps very quickly. When they move, they like this. Or the guys will take much, you know, bigger like this. And, you know, and even more, the bigger the guys are, they even swing their hips out, you know, like that, you know, kind of thing. You know, it's all an attitude, because it's about expressing the attitude. So it makes for, you know.
And we define it so we put the knees up.
Yeah, yeah.
Just
a little bit. Yeah. Abhinava Gupta says entry is to be done. Is this a... This is a... Vriti?
Yes.
Abhinava Gupta says entry is to be done with asthana, and after that, gati should be performed according to the situation. So in other words, they come in and take asthana. Yes. You know, they come in and then they stand, then they move.
Yes.
So when they stand, then you know who they are, what their attitude is, you know what their character, you know, because by this you can tell, okay, they're superior. Good. So all this will be done in the beginning. Whether this is done throughout the whole thing is another thing, but at least this when they first come in, then it should be established. So you know who they are. You know, it's like sometimes they do nowadays that they'll show the character and then there's somebody explaining, or they'll put up about, you know, about some note about it, So that's the whole thing. They generally show something that shows who they are. You know, some crazy thing like that. You know, that perfectly establishes who they are. So that it comes into here, it's work. This is because this is the traditional way to do it. Now, you can create this uniqueness of how they do it, how they're, you know, like that. But the main principle is there. That's what has to be followed. So even if you don't make it so stylized, still the principle is there. That it still has to be about, they have to come on. When they first come on, you have to know who they are, what their character is, what their nature is. And then also when they means the audience knows. It's not necessarily that the actors, you know, it means that the characters on the stage know. Just like, let's say somebody is very cunning and now that, they'll come in and take those poses that you know that they're cunning. But the people on the stage and the drama don't know they're cunning. But you know they're cunning. So the idea is that it's all about bringing the audience in and they're part of the scene. Is that? Yes. Okay. Adi Abhinava Gupta says, entry is to be done with the sthana, and after that, gati should be performed according to the situation, kala, time, desha, place, and characters. Sometimes it may change if a king or devata does any nicha, lowly actions, or nicha, does any uttama action. Right? So if he even, it may change that he does something that's improper, he'll use the lower forms to accomplish it. Or somebody is of a more lowly position, but they do some grand action, then they'll use the more grand things. Because then you know it's a good action, or this is a bad action. You know? Does that make sense? Or something, you know, above there, you know, above and beyond, you know, the call of duty, or it's below their character. Verses 12 to 15, tempo of the gate. An expert in the theatrical art should apply three kinds of tempo, slow, medium, and quick, to the gate of different characters according to their nature. So you see here, still everything comes out as three.
Yes.
Because it's all coming from Satchitananda. Right? The gate of superior characters should be slow. That of middling characters should have medium tempo, while the steps of inferior characters should have quick and copious. Right? So, the quick and many, because it takes many steps to accomplish the same thing. Verses 16 to 194, different types of gate. And it creates a particular flavor. Right? Like that. Like sometimes you see that there's you know, they have the very big personality and they have like this, something very, very small. And the one is taking the very big steps and the other one's like, you know, kind of keep up, you know, just to walk with them. You know, it creates a particular flavor. 16 to 194, different types of gates. After this, various gates to be followed by various types of characters in different situations, portraying the nature, for enhancing various sentiments and for many other subjects are given. These can be performed only after having a basic knowledge of the chapters based on Angika Abhinaya, which relates to the basic exercise of the movements of angas and upangas. So this is Bharat speaking?
Yes.
Yes, okay. One, gates for types of characters. Right? So the different kinds. So you have to, then you have, according to the theater, because you can't take too big a steps if you have a very small theater. Right? You know. Gates pertaining to conditions. Right? So what's going on in the stage, then that will be accordingly. Gates as per the situation. Right? So what's going on in that condition. Gates relevant for sentiments, so trying to bring out a particular mood. Gate of merchants and ministers, right? Because they'll have different kinds of points. Because merchants and ministers, then they're, dealing in very important matters, but they tend to think that they're more important than they are. Right? You know. Like that. Yeah. Gate of ascetics and Buddhists. Gate in darkness and vehicles. Gate in aerial sphere, gate in ascending palace, gate in river, gate of an elephant rider, gate of a horse rider, gate of serpents, gate of intoxicated persons, gate of lunatic persons, gate of lame, cripple, and dwarf, gate of Vidushak. Right, so Vidushak, the clown, has his own gate. Gate of low characters, gate of animals and birds. The rules for going about on stage, which have been described for men, will also apply for women. Right? It's the same principle like that. And the gate, so let's say you're saying that the women use smaller gates, but if she's the queen, she'll use bigger gates than a woman who's just a citizen. Like that. So in other words, they may not be as big. So smaller means in connection with the air. So how big the king takes, she'll be a little bit smaller. Right? Like that. But it'll be more than the other women. So it might be more than a lowly man.
Yes.
You know, like that. Does that make sense? You know, just like, yeah. And the gate prescribed for persons of the superior, the middling, and inferior types will apply in case of women of those types, except for footsteps, which will be graceful. Right? So even if they're taking bigger, they'll be graceful.
Yes.
While the men are doing the bigger, it may be more stylized and more for power and this and that. But even they take bigger steps, it'll be very graceful. So, yeah.
It's always compared to a swan.
Swan, yes.
Woman's.
Yeah, swan. They always say swan or also elephant?
Elephant is less. Elephant is generally used for kings, elephants and lions.
Because it also mentions that a girl had the gait of a swan or the gait of an elephant. Like, I think Sita was like an elephant. Because it swings more like this.
Okay.
While I think the swan, it moves more like this. There's the twisting in the swing.
Okay.
But they generally say swan because that's more obvious. Okay. Yeah, because I guess if he's using elephants, she'd use the swan. It's just he put the twist. The gate of children will be according to their will, and no saushtava and fixed measurement will be required. So depending on their will, sometimes they go real slow, sometimes very big. You know, so it's just whatever their mood is, it doesn't matter.
No rules apply.
Yeah, no rules apply, because that's just the way it is. An expert in dramatic art should not assign energetic angaharas, charis and mandalas to women. Right? Because energetic means that the movements are too jerky, you know, sudden and all that. So they're going to be more graceful and all those things like that. But, you know, it's like, let's say, you have the female dancer doing something of Shiva or the king, then it'll have those energetic movements. But when she shows Lakshmi or these other, then she'll use it graceful. And like that. Okay. So, we are. Okay. Verses 195 to 205, sitting posture. Sitting posture, sthana, for men and women should be made conforming to the different emotional states which they are in. And similar should be the postures while in bed. The different types of sitting postures are. Okay, so the whole way they're going to stand and sit and lie down is going to be according to the emotional state, because that's what you're portraying. Otherwise, why have the drama if it's not portrayed? Because if the audience can't understand it, what's the point?
Yes.
You know, because so many times that they're trying to do this far out, subtle thing and this and that, nobody gets it. And they think, what do you mean nobody gets this? So obvious. Oh, you've been thinking about it for the last, you know, so many months, or you thought about that since you were a kid, you know, and how I'm going to do this and like that. So, you know, you like that. And then people only see it for like, you know, 3 seconds and they're supposed to figure it out. But for you, it took 10 years to figure out. And so now, you know, go back to the drawing board. In other words, if they didn't figure it out, you didn't present it right. Or present it for a different audience. Who will figure it out. You know, have a preliminary test. You know, and if they get it, then they're invited in.
Also, these are the etiquettes in temple also. We don't use the sad postures and all. All the etiquettes are based on actually rasa. Don't understand, so why I need to follow this?
Yeah, why can't I sit like this or that? Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.